You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways that we can more effectively serve the body of Christ. And today we have with us Arlene Pelicane. She has written many books, and you might have seen her on Fox News or NBC News. She's written Parent Rising, 31 Days to a Happy Husband, Growing Up Social. And she also is the leader of the Happy Home podcast. So that might be something to check out as well. So your latest book, Arlene, is it Scream Kids with Gary Chapman?
Yes, co-authored with Gary Chapman. You can't ever go wrong there. And it's Scream Kids, 5 Skills Every Child Needs in a Tech-Driven World.
This is wonderful. Well, we thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And wow, as a parent, as we think of grandparents, our kids are just inundated with technology, aren't they?
Absolutely. This is a different world. And, you know, when parents are pulled over and over again and they say, you know, was it easier for your parents to be raising kids or for you? They say my parents, because largely there was not this technology. You know, our parents didn't have discussions like turn off the, you know, give me the iPad. But they said turn off the TV, yes, which was a lot easier than taking away an iPad that is streaming everything your child wants and is right there in their hands. Versus, you know, a piece of furniture, so to speak, that you could really separate yourself from.
And our parents thought the television was bad, but really, this technology, is it a good thing for us or is it bad for our kids, Arlene?
Yeah, and it is a bundling of both. And I think that's why it is so problematic. It's not like a clear thing, like a drug where you can say, oh my goodness, my child is smoking. We need to separate them from all cigarettes and get them in a new environment and get them off. You know, it's different. This is something that's used for school. You can watch a sermon using it. You could study your Bible on it. You can learn a recipe and cook it for dinner. You can Skype your grandma. So those are all things that I just mentioned that I would consider digital vegetables. There are things that you can do online that are good and healthy. You don't become addicted to them. Your parents never say, are you Skyping grandma again? Give me that phone. You know, there are things you don't get in trouble over. Those are digital vegetables. But you ask the average child in the church, you know, what are you doing? They're probably not saying, well, I'm memorizing Deuteronomy 6. You know, they're playing video games. They are watching, you know, streaming shows. And many times these shows are very, you know, what they're watching, it's not digital vegetables, it's digital candy. And not only is it candy, it's really unhealthy moral candy. So just like in real life, a little bit of candy is okay. But, you know, I've got this giant bag of M&Ms that I love to hold as a illustration that if I carry around this big bag of M&Ms all day long and say to myself, I'll just eat 10. You know, I don't have that kind of willpower. And it's the same thing with a child when you say, okay, here's an iPad, here's my phone, you know, occupy yourself, but just do a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very hard for that child, the best child, the most obedient child, you know, and obviously all the way down to be able to take it and say, oh, you know, let me just watch for 10 minutes and then put it down. You know, kids cannot do that. So parents have to understand there are redeeming factors to technology, but the overwhelming tide of technology is designed to get your child's attention. Hmm. And once they have that attention, they're not going to let go, you know? So that's what we have to understand. And therein, you know, that's the problem.
The problem is that, yeah. So I'm a parent and I like the good things, especially during the pandemic. There's so much use of technology for school. So how do I get them to focus more on the vegetables and less on the candy?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is access. And you can do this, but whether you have a toddler or a teenager, but just think it through, like how easy is it for them to access a device? Do the devices get put away at certain times? You know, does the Wi-Fi get cut off in the home at a certain time? Maybe overnight would be a really good idea, things like that. Mm-hmm. So if it's really easy for your child all day long to grab a device and get on it. And, you know, and that's us, because it's easier for us to say, oh yeah, go ahead, just watch that other thing so I can get my dinner done, so I can get 1 hour of work done. Like it's been, we get it. We understand why this is happening. Yeah. But when you look at it and you think, wait a minute, if my child has spent 8 to 9 hours, let's say a day on a device and they're consuming that and it's discipling their heart and it's informing their tastes and it's setting their patterns and their habits, then I have to think, wait a minute, this would be much better served for them to be reading or learning a hobby or cooking or playing outside or, you know, doing other things. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of it is access. So what that means is if you have an elementary school child who's begging you for a phone, because especially during the pandemic, oh, please, this is how I can stay in touch with my friends. Your answer is no, no, elementary school child, you may not have a phone. So that's a solution. Because once that elementary school child has a phone of their own, right, then they become very protective. Like, you can't tell me what to do. This is my phone. You right. gave me this phone. So delaying devices is a really key thing. And if you need a device to keep in touch with your children, maybe you're from a blended family and you've got to figure out who's got who and who's picking up who, then a simple phone that texts only does the job. That's what you're looking for. You're not looking for something that has internet access, and you mm-hmm. just push that, delay that as long as possible. And I am living proof that it works. Yeah. If your children ask you, you can say, I heard this crazy lady on the Better Together podcast, and she has a junior and a freshman in high school and public school mm-hmm. in San Diego, California, and they don't have phones and they make it just fine. So you can make choices. I'm not saying every parent has to do that, but I am saying I love what Bill Gates did, that he waited yeah. till his kids were 14 before giving a phone. I think that's a great start. And then for us, we just found like, wow, this is working so well. Why don't we yeah. just keep it this way? So there are things that you can do. My son, who's 16, he's got a Google Voice number, and that's how he texts does the group chats and figures out when practices and all that. And when it's time to get picked up, all he has to do is say to his friend, hey, can I text my mom? We got done early. You know, yeah. it's really not a big deal.
And he's spending time on some more, let's just say, effective things, right?
Yes.
He's a musician, and share that with our audience. So it's either screen time or it's spending your time on these other things,
yes.
isn't it?
It is. So he's always been a voracious reader. He has always loved reading. So I remember when he went into sixth grade and his friends would say, how did you make it over the summer without video games? You mean you didn't play video games all summer long? You know, and he's in sixth grade. So I was very anxious to hear, like, what did he say? And he said, but Mom, they don't know how to play the piano, and they don't know how to do karate, you know, taekwondo. And they don't know who Winston Churchill is, Mom, because he'd been reading a lot about World War II at that time. So there are trade-offs. And your child may feel left out in the moment because they don't know what happened on Instagram and they don't play the, you know, latest video game, but they, as they grow up, they're going to have skills and abilities that a lot of the other kids don't. And I kind of like to give that comparison of, do you want them to feel a little left out now and have to figure out other ways to be competent? Or do you want them to be left out when they're adults, when they're like, okay, all I know is gaming and social media, but I don't know how to be patient through this job search, and I don't know how to do my money and budget and rent an apartment, and I don't know how to make my own dinner, and, you know, all those kinds of things. So give your children other competencies. You know, for my son, he loves playing the piano, and so he has piano students. So the time that other people are, you know, gaming on social media, he's making money with having piano students in the house and making a pretty good wage as a 16-year-old. So that awakens, right? The entrepreneurial spirit, it awakens just what skills that you enjoy. And those things are found in boredom. Like when your kids are bored, then they go, well, I guess I really like art, or I love to cook, or I love to play sports, you know, those kinds of things. But if they're online all the time, they don't get a chance to develop these other competencies that are really a lot more healthy.
Yeah. It really sounds like it's a biblical example. You know, you think of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, their parents trained them to be competent. They survived in Babylon. Yes. And what you're talking about is if we prepare our kids, they're the ones that will be the leaders of the future if we prepare them in this way. Now, I'm a parent listening, and I'm hoping our parents will go and get your books and check out your website and your podcasts and use these resources. But there are some grandparents that are listening, and they're even upset with their own adult kids to use technology. Can you give them some guidance on how they can kind of gently reach into this area and help their adult kids and help their grandkids out a little bit?
So you said it right there, gently. So do it gently. but do something, you know, do something to reach out. And we did recognize, Dr. Chapman and I, that the grandparents are really underserved. There's not much material for you to learn. And then now you have your grandkids and you're like, oh my word, all they want to do is play with my iPad or with my phone. But if I don't give them those things, they go crazy and I don't have the energy to run around all day. So what do I do? Or my children are just going crazy and giving them all these devices, right? All those things. Why do my adult children let my little boy play this violent video game? All these questions, right? So Dr. Chapman and I did write Grandparenting Screen Kids. It's a smaller companion book that goes with Screen Kids. But what Dr. Chapman talks about, because he's a grandpa, so he knows, you know, is talking about, first of all, your heart, right, obviously is to help your grandchild and to really work in harmony with your adult children, realizing that's what they want to. So instead of having an adversarial relationship, really come alongside to say, you know, I know we both want the same thing. We both want Johnny to be as healthy as possible. And you know what? There's something I've been observing that I just wanted you to be aware of. When he plays this particular video game, he really has a hard time getting off of it. And he's super unpleasant after it's over. Right. And so you're just, and what we talk about is realize you can't be the parent, like your kids are going to make those choices. Yes. So you can't come in and say, you should be doing this. You should be doing that. Why didn't you ever listen to me when I was raising you? And why don't you, you know, so that's not going to go very well. Your adult kids aren't going to like that. Dr. Chapman even goes so far to say is, you know, your adult children might like it, not like it so much that you stop seeing your grandkids for a little bit, you know? Yeah. So you want peace. Yeah. You want peace. You don't want to argue with them. You don't want to be argumentative. And so don't find fault in every single thing they do.
That's good.
But choose like one main thing and bring it up as a point of concern. You know, I see our 12-year-old. She used to, you know, talk to me, but lately she's just been going in the other room and looking at her Instagram account. And I'm concerned because she doesn't really talk to me, you know, hey, can we talk about maybe what can we do? Maybe that app isn't very healthy for her, you know? So do it, pick one thing so that your adult children aren't too overwhelmed with all the things you're doing wrong. So just pick one thing and kind of drill down on that and approach it as how can we both together work on this to help her. Cause you know, your adult kids, they know, and they probably feel guilty about it and they don't feel great about it either. And when you bring it up, it just repels them even more. So out of a spirit of love, simplicity, help, and then just really pray and ask God, God, open the way to my adult child's heart for us to connect and for us to really think of a solution that we can do. And then of course, when they go to grandma and grandpa's house, you can have different rules. If they say, well, my mom and dad let me do this, well, I'm not your mom or dad, you know, so you can have like Nana's rules, you know, and Papa's rules, and you can do it different. You know, and I always say, if you have little kids, you can say, okay, like your iPad needs to take a little nap, and you can put a blanket over the iPad and say, shh, you know, the iPad is sleeping, doesn't wake up until you go home. So it was sleeping, it needs to rest, you know, so you can do things with your older teenagers. You can treat it like a coat check. Like if you're going to see a play and you're checking in your coat, say, okay, you're at Nana's house. Give me your phone, check it in, sister. And then when you leave, you can have it back, you know, and they will like, ah, but at the end of the day, they'll be glad that they knew you, you know, they'll be glad. Like I had a relationship with my grandma. I had a relationship with my grandpa. They'll be happy about that as adults versus, yeah, they let me just do whatever I want with my technology, but you know, I wasn't close to them.
Absolutely. So you're saying, hey, speak the truth in love, but then at your home, you can have your own, rules.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we talk about grandparents spoiling the kids and so forth. And, but they have a special place with the kids, so which creates opportunities and grandparents, you can do this. You can do the things Arlene's speaking of. So, hey, thank you for sharing that with us, Arlene.
You know, and I will say on the opposite side of that, you know, maybe you're not in the same city as your grandchild and you want to, you know, you want to use technology to reach out to your grandchild and that's okay. You know, so phoning, FaceTiming, voice to voice, all of those things, the pediatrician is like, that's okay for a kid to FaceTime with their grandma or grandpa. That's not the same kind of addictive behavior that's being encouraged by other things. So it's okay. You know, I heard of people in the pandemic that would call their grandchild at the same time every week, you know, so let's say it's 9 a.m. on Tuesdays and they have story time with Nana, you know, over the phone. And that's that's really nice. And so there are definitely ways you can use it to, you know, in a positive way.
Yeah, that's great. Well, hey, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing with us a bit today, Arlene. And folks can get in contact with you at arlenepelicane.com.
That's right.
They can go to the Happy Home Podcast, and we really show them those books again, Screen Times. And
yep.
Show them the one.
Yep, we've got Screen there. Kids, and then we've got that companion book, Grandparenting Screen Kids. So we've got the, and you know what, as a grandparent, you can read both. They have different information in it, but mm-hmm. the grandparenting one is specifically to you as a grandparent. And then Screen Kids goes in a little more depth about emotionally, what are screens doing, you know, in the brain, what is it doing, things like that. So you That's can important. Certainly read both, but you can give Screen Kids to your adult kids. They make a great gift, you know, and that's kind of a gentle way to yeah. say, hey, I just picked up some new information and I thought you might be interested in it.
And we'll link to those books on, and if you're probably watching this now, you can see it in Better Together Podcast on Facebook. It'll be linked there, and we encourage you to check that out. That's one of our goals, is to train our kids, to train each other and disciple each other. And this is these are some good resources for that. Well, thank you for joining us today, my friend, and may God continue to be with you and bless you and use you there in your ministry in San Diego.
Thank you so much for having me. I consider it an honor. Thanks so much.
And thank you for listening in today. We encourage you to like the podcast, to share it. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. And remember, we truly are better together when we work together for the cause of Jesus Christ.